What if I told you that one change, something auditory and playful, could unlock a child's reading confidence? Today, we're diving into a skill that doesn't involve letters, yet forms the foundation of fluent reading, phonological awareness. This is the K through third Reading Made Simple podcast. Hello, I'm Amanda Bowen, your host. Today's episode is episode number 5, Sound Foundations, Why Phonological Awareness Matters. By the end of this episode, you'll understand what phonological awareness is, why research shows that it's so critical, and most importantly, how you can foster it with activities that actually work. In this episode, you'll learn research-backed definitions and classroom strategies, hear why this matters even before children learn to read, and walk away with practical games you can use tomorrow. Welcome to K through third Reading Made Simple, the podcast for early childhood and primary teachers who want to teach reading with confidence, clarity, and heart. My name is Amanda Bowen, and I am a reading interventionalist and your host. Here we focus on building strong readers and writers using practical evidence-based strategies grounded in the science of reading research without the overwhelm. You'll find clear, simple ideas that you can adapt and use in a way that works best for your classroom. We'll also talk about organization, routines, and teacher lifestyle habits to help you protect your time, your energy, and your joy. Because great instruction starts with a supported teacher. Let's build strong readers and a teaching life that feels lighter, calmer, and more confident. Let me tell you about a first grade teacher I know. Every year, she noticed the same thing. A group of kids who could say letters but struggled to read. One year, she shifted her focus. Instead of letter drills, she played sound games, clapping syllables, rhyming words, stretching sounds like cat. Within weeks, she saw students light up and the aha moments were real. She told me it was like I had finally given them the key to the puzzle of reading. That's the power of phonological awareness. It teaches children to listen to sounds before they look at letters. Phonological awareness is the ability to recognize and manipulate sounds in spoken language from whole words to syllables, onsets and rhymes, all the way down to the individual phonemes or the individual sounds that we hear within a word. If you're teaching kids how to read, this helps you understand why some kids struggle even after learning letters. It shifts your focus from seeing reading as visual to first seeing it as auditory and cognitive. This skill develops in stages. First, we notice whole words, and then we're able to break them down into syllables. Then we start to be able to hear things like the onset and the rhyme. Next, we're able to hear the actual individual sounds within a word. And we do this through blending and segmenting practices. Phonemic awareness is the awareness of individual sounds. It is the most advanced stage and one of the most predictive elements of reading success. Some educators say phonological awareness is just games or ask, why not teach letters instead? The answer is research shows strong phonological skills predict reading success more than intelligence or vocabulary, and they need to be taught explicitly. According to the literacy researcher Barbara Blackman, students with weak phonological awareness are significantly more likely to become poor readers. In other words, if children don't develop strong sound awareness early, reading becomes an uphill battle later. Next, let's talk about word versus syllable awareness. Word awareness means noticing whole words and sentences. The next skill that is going to be a little bit more refined is breaking those words into syllables. These are the earliest skills that children develop, and by gaining these skills and becoming more proficient in them, they can build confidence and it makes language tangible. Children who can count syllables and segment words are better prepared for later phonemic tasks. So here are a couple strategies that you can use in your classroom. One, you can do the clap it out technique, which is to say a sentence and have the children clap when they hear each word. Another thing you can do is a syllable stomp when you segment each of the syllables within a word. For example, instead of saying elephant, we would say elephant. And each time the students hear one of those syllables, they're going to stomp. In the example of elephant, they would stomp three times. Before we jump back in, I want to share something just for you. If you're tired of spending hours planning and still feeling behind, I created a free teacher checklist of my three must-have apps with a bonus lesson plan template included to help make things easier. Inside, you'll discover the three top digital tools to simplify lesson planning, support structured literacy, and give your students self-checking phonics practice. Grab your free checklist at MsAmandaBowen.com/free. And Ms. Amanda Bowen is all one word. I'd love to welcome you into our teacher community. All right, let's jump back into the episode. Now let's talk about onset, rhyme, and rhyme awareness. Onset is the initial sound or sounds that we hear before the vowel in a word. For example, if I was to say the word bat, the sound b is going to be the onset, and the rhyme is going to be the rest of the word that we hear from the vowel on. Back to the example bat, the rhyme would be at in the word bat. Rhyme awareness is recognizing words that share rhyme patterns. This bridges sounds and patterns, and it's a precursor to phonics and spelling later. Rhyme play isn't just fun. It helps children hear sound similarities that map to spelling patterns later. Teachers who include rhyme awareness see better reading outcomes. Let's talk about a couple of strategies that you can use in your classroom. We can do rhyme time, and this is when you read a poem and you pause before the rhyming words and then let the kids guess what the word is. One of the strategies that I like to use is to take a read aloud that is very predictable with rhyming words, or to take a poem and I will say the first line, and then right when I say the second line, I will pause before I say the rhyming word and let the kids guess what they think the rhyming word will be. That's a very fun, interactive approach for students, and they seem to just enjoy it greatly. Another example is a word family sort. In this idea, students are able to actually sort the words by rhyme. For example, they could sort all the words that end with at or ig or op. And when students are first getting started with this, I like to start with very simple CVC words, which is just consonant, vowel, consonant words. And if students are struggling with that, then I'll step it down and I'll do VC words, which is going to be your words like vowel, consonant. Another activity that you can do with your students is word family sorts by rhyme. For example, you can say three words. Two of those words have the same rhyme, and then students would be able to say, what is the word that doesn't belong? Now let's break it down even further and talk about phonemic awareness. As I mentioned earlier, phonemic awareness is the ability to hear and manipulate individual sounds or phonemes in words. This can usually be done in two ways, with blending and segmenting. Research summarized by Gail Gillian in 2004 shows that phonological and phonemic awareness predict future reading success more accurately than IQ, vocabulary, knowledge, or memory skills. This line lands hard in a good way. It reframes reading struggles as instructional, not ability-based. And here are a couple things that you can do in the classroom. One strategy is to use sound boxes. In this example, students will move a token per sound heard. For example, if I was to say the word cat, I would have students tap on the three different sound boxes as they say each one of the sounds in the word cat. For example, when they say the sound k, they would tap on the first sound box. Then they would say the sound a, they would tap on the second sound box. And then when they say the sound t, they're going to tap on the third sound box. And I usually have them, when they're tapping on these sound boxes, move them slightly up to indicate that they have heard one of the sounds. They're saying the sound, they're touching the sound box, and then they're slightly moving the sound box up as they say that sound. Another strategy that you can use in the classroom is blending games. In this instance, I could say a word like map, and I could say all of the sounds segmented to the students and let them know that I would like them to blend those sounds into one word. Back to the example of map, I would say it like this with the sounds segmented. M-a-p. Then I would ask the students to blend those sounds into a word. They would respond with map. Another thing that you can do for your more advanced learners is to have them start to manipulate the sounds that they hear within a word and swap out some of those sounds. In this sound swap, you can say cat and have students change the k to h to get the word hat. Today, we explored phonological awareness, from word awareness to phonemic manipulation, and gave you activities you can use tomorrow, like the clap and stamping of syllables, the rhyming and onset rhyme game, or using sound boxes and blending challenges. If you feel overwhelmed, remember, every expert started with simple listening games, just like these. You don't need perfection, just consistency and joy. Early literacy research tells us children do not fail to read because they're incapable. They fail because they were never taught the sound structure of language clearly enough and given enough time to practice. This is why sound play, oral language games, and listening activities aren't extra. They are essential. Keep your ears open and your hearts tuned. That's where reading begins. Thanks for listening to the K through 3rd Reading Made Simple podcast. Just remember, teacher friend, I'm not here to tell you what to do in your classroom. Everything I share is meant to support you by sharing research-backed ideas and what has worked in my own teaching, not to give individualized advice. Take what's helpful, leave the rest, and always choose what works best for you and your students. Stay connected with the K through 3rd Reading Made Simple podcast. Subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode packed with practical literacy strategies and ideas to make teaching, reading, and writing feel simpler and more joyful. Click subscribe on your favorite podcast app and join our growing community of K through 3rd teachers who are passionate about helping students succeed. Let's make teaching reading and writing simpler, more effective, and more joyful.